The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Tom Fornelli, that's Danny Cannell, that's Bud Elliott. I'm Chip Patterson, coming to you live at youtube.com/cover3 and all across the 24/7 Sports Facebook network. Thanks for hanging out. Smash that subscribe, smash the like, come and join us in the chat. Today, yes, draft season continues. It is the pass catchers draft. We got four rounds. We are picking wide receivers, tight ends. Do you want to go four wide? You can do that. Do you want four tight ends? You can do that. You know, Rich has a great comment. He said, who is the best target in college football and why is it Brock Bowers? But then Morgan responds, probably Bowers now that Mark Emmert has retired. Yes, Mark Emmert was a great target for all of college football. He is gone. We got to figure out other ones to go. Lots more to get to, including some news from the recruiting trail. And speaking of the recruiting trail, the talent acquisition business is how you compete for national championships. And this week, we have gotten our refresh update of the blue chip ratio. For those who are not familiar, the blue chip ratio, as it was originally formulated by Bud Elliott, a long time. Are we more than a decade into this, Bud?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, long time ago. Now, the idea that your accumulation of having more than 50% of blue chips, four stars and five stars, than the rest of your roster over a four-year span, that is how you're going to be able to put together a national championship winning roster. So if you go to 247sports.com, you can find the full blue chip ratio for 2023, 16 teams who meet the threshold for winning a national championship. I'll go ahead and run through. Here's what we've got so far for this year's blue chip ratio. Tom, any guess at who's at number one? No peeking.
Alabama.
90%. I swear every year those daggum long snappers keep keeping the Crimson Tide from being able to go and get 100% on this. Ohio State right on their heels at 85, Georgia at 77, Texas A&M at 73%, Clemson at 72, the LSU at 71, and then Texas and Oklahoma both at 70%. Again, you can go to check out the full list. But as you were putting all this together, what were some of the movers and shit, like what were some of the movement that you saw? Cause I know you always look at this from a year over year perspective.
Yeah. So welcome back USC. Thankfully, like, I would have been pretty nervous if Caleb Williams with a roster in the high 40%, which is where they would have been if they had not added a few more elite players on signing day, I would have been kind of nervous that he would bust it. I always think this will, you know, potentially get busted by like a guy like Deshaun, who almost did it when Saban did that onside kick. Clemson was like a 49% team that year. You know, that Oregon team with Mariota that eventually lost to Ohio State in the first ever college football playoff, they almost busted it. So I was a little worried about USC, but ran the numbers. They hit it. Somewhat surprised that Auburn stayed on, but they're just, you know, barely hanging on. And I've done a bunch of radio and I'm sick, guys. So sorry about the voice today. I'd probably skip it if it wasn't Blue Chip Ratio Day, since Jordan did such a good job of drafting my quarterback team. Team BJ.
Let's go.
Look, this is not a who's most likely to win the national title list. It does not measure coaching, culture, retention, player development, schedule draw. It doesn't say anything really about your ability to make the playoff. This is purely who has recruited well enough over the past 4 years, like done the bare minimum in recruiting that history says it takes to win a national title. So, you know, from that standpoint, little surprised about Auburn. No, I'm not saying that Florida or Miami have legitimate shots to win the national title this year. I think they'd probably need to do a little bit better in like the retention, you know, coaching, culture thing over the last 4 years, not blaming the new staffs. The number of teams that are 70% or higher has never been higher. So people are all like, oh, wow, like Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, look at those numbers. And agreed, they're super high. Bama's the first 90% team ever. But the number of teams that are in the 70s is also up quite a bit. We've never had we've never had seven teams in the 70s. I think we never had more than three. So, like, that's pretty impressive. Also, like, kind of down ballot, the lack of teams in the 30s, right? So people are like, oh, it's just three super teams. I don't really agree. I think we are seeing a bit of a separation between like the top 20 in the sport and everybody else. Like Virginia Tech and schools like Wisconsin and stuff like that, they're way down from where they used to be, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Texas A&M, 73%. Of that top group, like, you could, Texas underachieved, certainly, you know, 5-7 in Sark's first season, but, you know, of the 70% group over the last 4 years, you know, Alabama, you know, you got it. Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, even with winning conference titles, LSU got to the SEC championship game. Oklahoma, not that far removed from being at the top of the Big 12. Texas A&M at 73% is like, how much longer is that hanging on that you see? Like, is that going to continue to be up there above 70% next year? The year after that? Is there some maintenance that needs to be done there in College Station?
Not a measure of culture, coaching, or attrition retention. I think it really, really strongly applies to Texas A&M. I have to think they'll be better. They are sort of this team. It's like if they put it all together, they're really scary. The if is doing a lot of work in that sentence, clearly. Like they missed a bowl game last year. Right, the culture that Jimbo brought is obviously terrible, or was. Maybe he'll change it around, you know, this year. It looks pretty close to what they had culture wise at the end of the time in Tallahassee. So, I think they are one that people will circle. And just having this doesn't mean that you will be good. If you're that high and you're missing bowl games, I do think that's a cause for concern. I don't think that's hating on Texas A&M to say if you have a 73% blue chip ratio, missing bowls should not be on the table.
So there are more 70% teams than ever. Am I to believe that the era of NIL and college football playoff is not leading to more parity? The old saying, the rich get poorer, isn't true?
I think that's generally true. My thing is, I think it's pretty much always been that there's not that many teams that can actually win the title. When I started this, I felt like I was more data heavy than most of like the college ball media, right? It was very like narrative story based. And I was at these recruiting camps and I would see people hype like Wisconsin and like the old TCU teams and Michigan State and teams like that for the national title. And I'm like, will you guys go to one recruiting camp with me and just see the quality of player that like a Bama signs or a Florida State or a USC? Guys, it's not the same thing. Like, they're not the same quality of player. That's really why I started this. Like, who's actually recruited well enough to do this thing? Now, like, even the people who hate data in the media are not promoting teams outside this list for the most part to win it, at least not on an annual basis. They're like, oh, can Wisconsin take the step? No, now we know, like, Wisconsin beats up on a lesser division of the Big Ten, doesn't really recruit the high-level player quite as much, stuff like that, right? So I think we are seeing more teams that are definitely more talented. The big gap is like the gap between like 18 and 30 is massive now.
I also think too, it's interesting. And I thought the last 2 years have proved, you know, what you're talking about. This isn't just to get to the playoff. That's a whole nother conversation with TCU and Cincinnati. But then you see with TCU, the glaring difference in how bad it could be between Georgia and their stacked roster and what a TCU looks like with a good roster, but not anywhere close to the type of talent that's there. Where I'm surprised Bama's that high and Georgia's in third. I thought Georgia, considering their past cycles, would have been higher than this. And I also think it puts, you know, I think it's because I have doubted the length of this Bama dynasty. You know, is it coming to a close? Is there dominance? And I think positionally it does matter. They have massive question marks, coordinators leaving. But this one's like, man, maybe they really aren't going anywhere.
To that point, Georgia was at 77% the last two seasons and also won the title. So it has not hurt them. And I look at this as sort of like a necessary but not sufficient thing. Like not like a, I mean, obviously 90%, you'd rather be 90% than 51%. Okay, clearly. I do just think it's kind of a general minimum level of talent to get over. And then the rest of the stuff matters quite a bit. Coaching, culture, you know, scheme, quarterback matters an absolute ton in this. I think you have more leeway to win with a lesser quarterback. If you have ridiculous talent around, that's probably just the tautology. But Bama signed the best class of all time last year by the numbers. A&M did it 2 years ago. Georgia, I don't know that they will do it, but they will have a shot to do it. And if so, then they're going to jump up, you know, pretty hard, obviously.
With this recruiting class currently?
Yes.
What about the
one they're building?
Okay, so speaking of the ones that are building, this is one of my favorite aspects of the blue chip ratio is being able to see who are the programs that are on the rise, what programs are just one or two recruiting classes away from being able to, you know, have that. And a lot of times we see this with new coaching staffs, right? There's, you know, a big exodus of talent. Maybe it takes a year or two to get your feet under you. I want to say, like, is Tennessee close?
Tennessee is really close. Tennessee is a good class away. Florida State is a great class away. Washington is like an unbelievable class away. South Carolina is probably two of their best classes they've ever had away.
I would not bet on that.
South Carolina, yeah.
Right, yeah. And obviously, like, that's going to be tough to make. I mean, their win total is 6.5. If you guys listen to the summer school, don't know if they hit that. We'll see. But they are recruiting well. They're recruiting better under Beamer, I think.
And one last thing, and you addressed this in the piece, but you 2 years ago, I think, started to address, you know, what you were going to do with transfers. This year, you've actually taken the next step to show what the rating is, not including transfers, and then when transfers, using the 24/7 Sports transfer ratings, how that is updated. I found it interesting that of all the 16 teams, when you factor in the transfer situation, 14 of them actually have their percentage go down. One stays the same, that is Georgia. One goes slightly up. Michigan goes from a 54% to a 55%. What do you attribute that to, at least in terms of, you know, why a transfer adjustment based on the current roster would have the blue chip ratio adjusted?
I think it's because, for the most part, transfers remain players that are somewhere, but like transfers that these schools are taking remain players that are somewhere between like average at the worst to elite at the best. But the curve is much more on the average to above average. We're taking this guy because we need some depth. We're taking this guy because we believe, you know, he can come and be a quality player for us. You're not seeing a lot of transfers, and especially not at the premium positions, get drafted really highly. So, I mean, there are four-star transfers. There are, I think, three five-star transfers this year. Schools do a pretty good job. The schools with resources, at least, who initially sign these studs out of high school, they do a pretty good job of locking them up, right? There's a couple chances, like Jordan Birch from South Carolina to Oregon. That was a surprise. Like, that was a five-star coming out of high school. He played fairly well for them, a little up and down. Oregon got him. Like, that's kind of an outlier. There's not a ton of that, absent a coaching change. Caleb Williams, USC, obviously is one there. So again, like, the players who end up being really, really elite, for the most part, sign out of high school and are NIL'd immediately once they show some positive signs on campus and don't hit the portal. Sometimes they get big time NIL'd once on campus if they show a little thing and they're a backup, right? So,
would guess too that a player maybe was didn't live up to the hype or what didn't live up to the expectations, so he's not getting playing time, so he leaves. So, you know, if you did have a great 4 or 5 star that was there, he leaves. And on the flip side, if there's a player that they're plucking from a group of 5 school or lesser known that's a 3 star who's been balling out, you add him to your roster, that doesn't count as a 4 or 5 star, correct? So like, well, you might have a better player, but the rating doesn't
use
go
the transfer
well,
rating.
I do use the, the new transfer ratings. Rating. Yeah. Got so you. Like I think it does say something. Even using the new transfer ratings, we have almost 247 4-star players this year, somewhere around that range. Most of these teams are still going down slightly. Now, outside of this, Florida State and Ole Miss went up. FSU went from 38 to 41. Ole Miss went up, I think, 4%. So, like, there are some teams that are, like, heavy transfer teams that have gone up some.
Notre Dame fans love the Cover 3 podcast. 55 to 62 to 65. They've been telling us, bud. Telling us that Marcus Freeman, it's a new era in South Bend, different levels of talent, and that does surely seem to be the trajectory. Let's hit a break real quick, then we'll come back to it. Coming up on the other side, there is a program that was a college football playoff mainstay, and it's been a few years. They're doing some work on the recruiting trail. Are you buying the hype? And our pass catchers draft, the top wide receivers and tight ends in the country, drafted by us. Next.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Recruiting trail jumps in June. Got a lot of visits, got a lot of work, starting to get a lot of commitments. And Dabo Swinney and his staff have been doing work. The last 48 hours have been very, very busy. It starts with the commitment of 5-star linebacker Sammy Brown, the number one linebacker in the entire country. It continues with 5-star wide receiver Bryant Wesco, also 4-star wide receiver TJ Moore. So if we're talking about the blue chip ratio, things are surely looking up for the Tigers. Let's, before we get to the bigger picture stuff, like Bud, what are we getting from these prospects, at least from your from the scout's eye?
Big time. Sammy Brown, huge get. Clemson beat out Georgia for him. He's going to play early for Clemson. They could play often. Probably the best linebacker in the country, maybe number two. Absolute freak. If you look at his weightlifting stuff, if you look at his speed stuff, if you look at how he plays two ways on Friday nights, the guy's a total stud and somebody that all the elite teams wanted. Bryant Wesco, big-time get for Clemson, one of the top receivers in the country out of Texas, you know, borderline 4- or 5-star kid. Really a potential difference maker for them. I like this TJ Moore kid a lot that they got from Tampa Catholic. I know Florida had felt decent there about their chances, and Clemson just swooped in and landed him. We're actually way higher than the industry is on him. The rest of the country has him, I guess, including our ranking, 157th. We actually have him 83rd, so that's a decent bit higher than everybody else. This is sort of like, oh, you thought we were done? We're not done right now. Still have concerns about Clemson using the transfer portal. Like, probably you're not going to hit on all these guys. Most of them, sure, because they're highly rated and Clemson their hit rate, I think, is higher than average because they really do value character quite a bit. But you're going to miss on some. So I do want to see them use the portal still. But from a recruiting standpoint, Clemson was still top five in blue chip ratio. They're still loaded. They're not going away.
Danny, you buying the hype? We turning things around? Clemson getting back to the top of the mountain?
I don't think they ever went anywhere. I think we kind of over-exaggerated how far they had fallen off. So I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they still have a positive culture. And if I was reading some of the comments from some of the recruits this year saying why they chose Clemson were the reasons that Dabo always preaches. We're family. It's more than football. And I think that goes to the culture aspect where I still think there's a very healthy culture because they don't quit. Like they've still competed in the last couple of years when they haven't been in the playoff, when they haven't been in the national title conversation, unlike Texas A&M, who has all these high-powered recruits, and they hang it up as soon as they face some adversity. So I think absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the linebacker is awesome because he's a really good player, but that's big picture to me. That doesn't mean anything. Oh, okay, Clemson's adding another really good player in its front seven. That has been the case for years. To me, it's the receivers who are the bigger thing to pay attention to because what is our – when it came to that offense in recent years, one of the things we've harped on is how they've kind of just had the same guy at receiver who has never really, you know, turned into anything. He's a prototype. He's not a receiver. Are these guys who could be what Clemson has lacked at that position really, honestly, since Hunter Renfrow, who was not a five-star, but was somebody who you'd get the ball to and made things happen with the ball in his hands. He could keep the chains moving. Can these guys be that? And just an answer question in the comment I saw a couple minutes ago from JC, Garrett Riley is obviously, I think, having an impact on some of this, the offense that they're bringing in. But just to answer the question in the comments, yes, Garrett Riley did call the plays at TCU. I don't know why you think he didn't. But anyways, my question for you, Bud, are these guys that type of guy, or are these just more like, again, measurables, guys who are tall and long and can run in a straight line?
No, I think they are the type of guy. Like Clemson does have a type at receiver, right? Like they are long, fast guys. Could they use a slot from the portal? Yes, and that's probably still the case again next year. But these are the guys that dominated one-on-one when Nick Saban was like, hey, you know, Chad Morris, you won't chuck it up one-on-one against our guys. And Clemson's like, lost again.
Mike Williams, go.
Yeah.
It's like, right. Here we go.
Yeah, so these are those type of players. And I mean, Clemson, think about like the players that they dominated with when they were on their amazing run, right? Defensive lineman, quarterback, receiver for the most part. They usually had like one good corner on those teams. Offensive linemen were not special. They had some good backs at times and others not so much. And like linebacker, they usually had a guy who's more like a program guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like right.
So somebody who you know, would make all the calls for it. Like Toa Toa was last year for Bama. Like not an athletic freak
here and there.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, look, if they get a little bit better offensive coaching, they're not going anywhere. Clemson is doing a really good job. I think they have an inefficiency with their refusal to use the portal. Can they recruit so well that they don't have to use it? I have my doubts, but it would look like this, right, if they're able to do it.
But this is a great show to be able to come back to it because, you know, Danny's saying, I don't think they win anywhere. And that is like a clear-eyed view. But to throw back to the reason you started the blue chip ratio, the narrative analysis is Florida State has caught Clemson. And if you just put the depth charts across from each other, it's great that Florida State has depth in a way that it has not had for several years. But Clemson's higher end talent is still better. The ceiling to me is still higher for Clemson based on what they've got at the very, very top of the roster.
It's also a more sustainable way to build it because like who will be favored next year in Tallahassee in 24? Probably Clemson, right? I mean, because you're losing 15 starters off FSU.
No, you're saying not next this year. Fall, but yeah.
On an annual year. Basis, But look, I don't think Florida State is going to keep living through the portal, right? I think they found an inefficiency within the marketplace to realize like, hey, we have no juice on the recruiting trail right now and then nothing really to sell on the field. So let's go get some portal guys. They were fortunate and worked hard in their scouting endeavors and they upgraded the class every year. Like they got a lot of really good players on that team. And I don't think it's wrong that they are favored, you know, this year in the ACC. But FSU is clearly trying to take more high schoolers too. Like they're not trying to live, you know, 12 guys a year in the portal on an annual basis. I think you're already starting to see that too, like some positions. They They could have taken another safety if they wanted to, but I think they're like, we like some of the young guys we signed. Do we really want to risk running them off and not getting them playing time, you know, and build for the future as well?
I like the narrative idea that we've got portal averse versus portal built for the Atlantic Coast Conference. Kind of a cool
battle for the future of college football.
Who's going to the Orange Bowl after finishing sixth in the college football playoff rankings? Oh, man. All right. Coming up on the other side, the time has come. The 2023 pass catchers draft, wide receivers, tight ends, drafted by us.
Next.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Those of you watching on youtube.com/cover3 just saw a nice little teaser for the upcoming Super Bowl, which will be on CBS, also on Paramount Plus. And Paramount Plus is where you can find Fiorentina today on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, going for that Europa Conference League title against West Ham. I tell you, of all the Serie A Premier League battles that are happening this week on Paramount Plus, this is the one. Also, yes, watch the Champions League final on Saturday. It's going to be electric. Man City going up against Inter. That one, 3 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday, the Champions League final. That will be on big CBS and Paramount Plus. Diehards like me are going to have to find Fiorentina just on Paramount Plus today. But, hey, you know what?
If they don't put West Ham and Fiorentina on CBS on Wednesday afternoon, they're too busy showing a talk show. Come on.
Yeah. I was gonna say I think that the soaps still got the pick on that one. All right, let's begin with a quick review of the 2022 Cover 3 wide receiver draft. Bud had the first pick. He went with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, followed it up with Xavier Worthy from Texas in the second round, A.T. Perry from Wake Forest in the third, Rakeem Jarrett in the fourth round. I had the second overall pick, got Jordan Addison from USC off the top, Michael Mayer from Notre Dame in the second, Jermaine Burton from Alabama in the third, and Arian Smith from Georgia in the fourth. Tom from the third spot, Kayshon Boutte from LSU, Brock Bowers, hey, Mario Williams in the third round, and some guy named Marvin Harrison Jr. in the fourth round. And as we discussed in the quarterback draft, there are no keepers here. Sorry about that. And Danny from the fourth spot, Josh Downs from North Carolina, Marvin Mims from Oklahoma in the second, Cedric Tillman in the third round from Tennessee, and Cameron Latu, tight end from Alabama, in the fourth. So my question, gentlemen, in chat watching live, who won? We've got the whole season behind us. Who had the best draft in the pass catcher's draft last year?
Who got Marvin Harrison in the fourth round?
Yeah, but you weren't like
Andrew and Brock Bowers.
And Brock Bowers and Mario Williams. I'll admit my first round pick was just a bust, like, you know, whatever. But I'd say second, third, and fourth, I was pretty strong.
Let's see. Where did Mario Williams finish in receiving for the Trojans? Third leading receiver. 631 yards, 5 touchdowns, 40 catches.
That's my number 3.
It's either Tom or Danny.
God. I was going to say Danny because the Downs, Mims, Tillman is great. And I think that if Latu had been what, I mean, I thought he was going to be.
The Tillman's not as good as I thought it was going to be, though.
Yeah, but he also got hurt some.
Right. Yeah. I mean.
A lot of Tom's in the chat. A lot of Tom's in the chat. Just saying.
Just from the Marvin Harrison Jr. fourth round pick. Yeah. Tom finished with the best wide receiver in the country, and he picked him up, and the best tight end in the country. Daggum it, man.
This is kind of like the Patriots fans are like, oh, we're a genius for drafting Brady. I'm like, if you actually thought he was that good, you would not have waited until the sixth round. So
yeah, that's right. You
know, like, yeah, it's not called game smart. Theory, bud. You thought Barry could wait on him.
All right, let's turn the page. Danny or Tom seems to be the consensus right there. Let's turn the page to 2023. Danny, you have the first overall pick. You are on the clock.
You know, last year's number one overall pick did not play very much this past season. It's been a trend with some Ohio State players dealing with injuries that crop up all of a sudden. Johnny Wilson is a huge beast on the out. I'm just kidding, Marvin Harrison. Give me Marvin Harrison Jr.
I just wanted to do it.
I would have gone that direction.
I mean, he's as long as he's healthy, I think it's a no-brainer. Breaking in a new quarterback, I do think, you know, it could be a little bit of an issue, but I still think you're going to see him dominate most of the season. They got weapons all over the place. You can't double him. You can try, but then it opens up everybody else. Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's better than Jackson Smith and Jigba last year.
The tissue was so soft. I don't even know how to analyze it anymore.
I'm just glad he recovered.
Yeah, I'm glad he recovered. Glad he's all better.
Keeping my mouth shut. I caught enough heat for it saying it all last year.
All right. I've got the second pick. No, what these are wide receivers, these are tight ends, and I'm not gonna overthink this one. I'm gonna get the best tight end in the whole daggum country. Give me from Napa, Brock Bowers, University of Georgia. Total elite weapon to do so much for me.
I would just like to point out that the first two picks of this year's draft were on my team last year, and we were trying to debate who won the draft last year. I just want to point that out.
All right. Bud.
Do we have to take a tight end or is
just No, you didn't last year. Last year you went four wide.
I'm not taking any tight ends then. All right. But Bowers was the only one I was going to take. I'm going to go to LSU. I'm going to take Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
I think this guy's a stud, and I think he's the best receiver in the SEC. Good contested catch guy, gets open consistently. If Daniels doesn't hit him in stride this year on these deep balls and turn these touchdowns into just 25-yard gains, we're going to have to go to Nussmeier. Give me Malik Nabers.
Sends us to Tom. Oh, so far we got Marvin Harrison at one, Brock Bowers at two, Malik Nabers at three. Tom, you are on the corner. Last pick of the first round, first pick of the second.
I'm going to take Emeka Egbuka as my first pick. I just think that, you know, that offense is going to produce a ton of yards. And while Harrison is going to command most of the attention, Egbuka is going to eat on the other side because he's also a very talented receiver because Ohio State, that's all they have. Where I'm more conflicted is where I want to go next, because I don't pick again for so long. And there's some guys that I want, but I'm trying to figure out. I think I'm going to snipe one of Bud's guys here. I'm going to take Ja'Cory Brooks. Mm. I think he's going to have a big year in that offense as the number one guy. And I think that this is a time when we look back at this next year after I've won this draft again, we're going to look at that Ja'Cory Brooks pick and say, man, I can't believe he didn't go in the first round. So give me Egbuka and Ja'Cory Brooks.
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick. All right. There's a lot of guys here I think are kind of on the same level, right? But there is one, and my partner in the chat is actually reading my mind here. I'm going to take Odunze from Washington. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really good player. That gives me two kind of physical freaks on the outside, and 6'3", 211, and a dude just 1,000 yards last year, gets open in a variety of ways. He can score. I'm a big fan.
I spent a lot of time watching Odunze clips this morning on YouTube. You know, obviously Jalen McMillan is another talented wide receiver on that Washington offense. I needed to go back and refresh. And if it seems like I'm in a great mood, it's because watching all those clips on YouTube got me a lot of Petros. I've just been mainlining some Petros. Nice. And so many of those cut-ups are just Petros telling you about his route running. You know, we're going down. He's like, I'm really loving what I'm seeing. You know, I mean, it's just love that and like that pick. All right, back to Chip. Second round. Let's just sort of stick to the board. Someone who we saw flash late in the year and in a new offense with a quarterback who I think is going to take some steps forward. We take Evan Stewart from Texas A&M. I think he's going to have the former five-star prospect's going to have a phenomenal year in Bobby Petrino's offense. He is the alpha in that wide receiver room. So whatever production we get, we'll be looking to Stewart first.
The alpha in the Texas A&M receiver room. So we're talking 35 catches, 490 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
All right. To Danny.
I'm going to go. So I'm going to go with the guy I mentioned the first. I'm going to go Johnny Wilson, Florida State. Get that size advantage. They're going to have mismatches all over the place. That 6'7" frame. Jordan Travis's favorite target. And then my next pick, give me Jatavion Sanders, Texas.
Ooh.
Give me a tight end out there who's going to catch a ton of balls this year.
I like that one. I like that a lot. Man, I got some good players here.
There are a lot of good players on the board.
A lot of guys left on my board. I did not expect to be on my board at this point.
I feel like I got a pretty good chance here of having a three that are like three of my top 10.
Back to Chip. So Danny so far is Marvin Harrison Jr., Johnny Wilson, and Jatavion Sanders. He's got two wide receivers and a tight end. I've got Brock Bowers and Evan Stewart. Bud's got Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. Tom has Emeka Buka and Ja'Cory Brooks. To which I might be bending the rules, but based on his performance in the final four games of last year, including the SWAC championship and the Celebration Bowl, we go Travis Hunter, Colorado.
Wow.
Wow. I did not even have him on my board.
That's who I was going to take.
Really?
Yeah, Danny, he's a stud.
I know he is, but how much is he going to play?
I think he's going to play receiver a lot.
Yeah. Because it was that last year, it was like when we need it. You know, when it came down to title winning time, they called his number, and he showed up in a really big way. 4 touchdowns in the final 4 games of the season. And Colorado will need it. Like, everything that they can pull out, they're going to need it in a way that they didn't through most of the regular season schedule for Jackson State. Add two more rounds to the draft.
No, then everybody would be happy. We want some people pissed off about this. snubs matter.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up here, there's a couple guys I like. I'm trying to game theory. That's like who Tom is going to take. And I know Tom is a huge fan of both the quarterbacks of these guys. I'm trying to think of who he's going to take first.
I think I know where you're going to.
I'm going to go back to the Pac-12.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we're going to go to Ole Miss because he's a huge fan of Spencer Sanders and a huge fan of Jackson Dart.
This is true. Yeah, Trey Harris. I'm going to take the guy that led the Pac-12 in receiving last year in Dorian Singer. Mm-hmm. And he's trailing and throwing the ball now. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll take Singer. I agree with Jordan there.
Yeah. Okay, good team pick for Team BJ right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going back and looking at Dorian Singer, and it's just so cold-blooded that they get the best wide receivers from the conference. Mm-hmm. They did it last year.
Yeah.
They're doing it again. They're like, I'll take you from Arizona. Last year was like, I'll take you from Colorado, take you from Washington. Cold-blooded stuff, but that's Lincoln Riley's offense and certainly the opportunity to play with Caleb Williams. All right, Tom.
Well, I was going to take Dorian Singer, so good job there.
Yes.
See, I've got this guy at the top of my board. I don't know if I'm actually want to take him. Which is weird. I'm not going to take him. Instead, I am going to take Dante Cephas.
Yep.
Penn State, the transfer from Kent State. I think he's going to kind of step into that role that we have seen. Parker Washington had it last year. I think, honestly, or actually he might play more the Mitchell Tinsley role, but I think he's going to be somebody who is very active. I think Penn State has upgraded at quarterback. I think we will see Penn State throwing the ball a little bit more, not a lot more, but a little more than they have in recent years because of that. So I think he's primed for a big year. And then for my final pick, man, there's so many. This is where I hate having 4 rounds because there's a ton of guys still on my board. Which one do I? Yeah, just give him to me. Xavier Worthy. I mean, I'm surprised. Like, Danny already took Sanders. I was kind of surprised that was the first Texas Longhorn pass catcher to be drafted. I'm okay with it. I will take Worthy. He has not, to this point, lived up to what I think he's capable of, but maybe this is year he breaks through. Maybe he gets a starting quarterback in Quinn Ewers, who's healthy all year. They develop a rapport and things break down, and maybe he works a bit on his hands, because if Johnny Wilson can go in the second round with those stone hands, then Xavier Worthy can go in the fourth with his.
They have a lot of really good receivers at Texas. I mean, Whittington's
really another good one if you wanted to throw him on there.
Mm-hmm. They also remember like Isaiah Nayor last year.
Yeah.
He tore his knee up in preseason camp. He was like one of the top receivers in the portal. They got A.D. Mitchell, who might be their best receiver. Like, I'm actually thinking about taking him if he can stay healthy. We've heard the knee is good there. Am I gonna go three Pac-12? Jordan, let me know in the chat. Should we go three Pac-12 or should we go with
Jordan loves the Pac-12
with team transfer? I'm not taking Brew McCoy. No. Hey, all right. Jordan has gone off the rails. He texted me Lad. He texted me Lad McConkey. And then in the chat, he's saying Brew McCoy. Like Brew McCoy, not outrageous. Lad McConkey is a good player.
I was very strongly considering Ladd, but my concern is with Stetson gone, is Ladd still going to be Carson Beck's like outlet? You know what I mean? Because Ladd was Stetson's security blanket.
And if Aaron Smith is actually like fully healthy now, mm-hmm. consistently, and the fact they added Dominic Lovett, you might be drafting the third receiver on a team mm-hmm. that doesn't throw the ball that much. All right. God, I'm just down to the two. I'll say in the post show if he doesn't get picked who it is. I'm going to go ahead and take Troy Franklin from Oregon.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a boatload of targets. I just talked to Matt Prem of Duck Territory, Auths and Audibles podcast this morning for summer school. That'll be out soon. I feel pretty damn good about Franklin. That's going to be a high volume guy, catches a lot of balls, really good player.
12 personnel, Brant Keithy. Let's go.
Wow. Chip's running the Big Ten West offense out here. Iowa's going spread. Chip's going Iowa.
Brant Keithy heading into his sixth season of college football. Remember, he suffered a season-ending injury after four games. At the time, he was leading all tight ends in the country in some of the major receiving statistical categories. Ever since he showed up for Kyle Whittingham's program, he has been played in every single game, year one, two, three, four, and then, of course, suffers that injury last year. He is a dude. I had him high on my board. If I couldn't get Bowers, I probably would have taken Keithy earlier, just because I do think there is a cliff at some point for some of the tight ends, especially compared to the wide receivers. But here in my fourth spot, the opportunity to load up with two tight ends, both of whom I consider elite. I'll go with Brant Keithy.
Wow. It's interesting strategy. I like it. Going big.
Just gonna run the ball with his pass catcher.
Gosh, I got a lot of dudes I want to take here for total.
Brock Bowers runs the ball. We do the little like jet sweeps to Brock Bowers. We'll be fine.
Man, I want to take a swing for the fence at somebody who hasn't done much but could. But
do it.
No, it's too much ACC homerism. I'll go.
Are you going Devontae's?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to go Jalen McMillan.
Yeah.
Washington.
Yeah. And by the way, once you start doing this research, you're like, oh, Penix had a great year, but man, he had some dudes to throw to as well.
Also, Jalen Polk is a stud on mm-hmm. that. Like, that's maybe your best number three receiver in the country.
Yeah.
Okay, now to review for those listening at home, Danny has Marvin Harrison Jr. in the first, Johnny Wilson from Florida State in the second, Jatavion Sanders from Texas in the third, Jalen McMillan from Washington in the fourth. I've got Brock Bowers from Georgia in the first, Evan Stewart from Texas A&M in the second, Travis Hunter from Colorado in the third, Brant Keithy from Utah in the fourth. Bud's got Malik Nabers from LSU in the first, Roma Dunze from Washington in the second, Dorian Singer from USC in the third, and Troy Franklin from Oregon in the fourth. Tom's got Emeka Abuka from Ohio State in the first, Ja'Cory Brooks from Alabama in the second, Dante Cephas from Penn State in the third, and Xavier Worthy from Texas in the fourth. Looks pretty even.
I won again.
There's some uncertainty in there, but now let's get to everyone's favorite part, the snubs. Who was next up or high on your board that did not end up getting picked? I'll start with Kari Franklin. Recently in the news.
Yeah.
one of the top wide receivers from Conference USA last couple of years. He's going to be at Ole Miss. He was the next best available, according to my big board.
I thought about taking Keon Coleman over Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. I think Coleman is, there's a non-zero chance he's the best receiver on that team.
I think Keon Coleman's a better talent prospect than
he's more complete.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. If Wilson caught the ball more consistently,
correct,
then agreed. And his hands did get better. But like, go put on the NC State tape. Like, they win the game if he doesn't drop that many balls, right? Like, mm-hmm. his drop rate was still 7.5%, which is the highest on the team among receivers. So
no one won that game.
Hands an issue.
No, Florida State just lost it a little slowly. Bit more.
I wasn't going to draft him because we had already taken two of them, but I had Julian Fleming on my board, who I just think there's enough to go around in that Ohio State offense. I think he's a talented guy, and you saw some guys transfer out. And I think there was a reason for that. I think Fleming kind of very much establishes the third there. Aeneas Smith, I considered. I had Mario Williams on my board just out of, you know, a little touch to last year, a little nod. And then Jacob Cowing.
I could see all those.
Who stayed at Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that in that offense, he's still going to be the number one guy, so put up numbers. Then I also had three guys who I listed who I was never going to draft, but I do think are kind of deep sleeper-ish, just Big Ten angle-wise. Tyrese Chambers, a transfer from FIU at Maryland. I think he could have a very big year in that offense. He was kind of the guy that they were lacking, I feel like, last year. Isaiah Williams at Illinois, I think it could have a 1,000-yard season, especially with the new quarterback, Luke Altmyer, there. And then, again, going back to the Ohio State, we talk about all the receivers. Leaves a lot of room over the middle of the field. He's never going to have the kind of numbers that would make you want to draft in a situation like this. But Cade Stover could end up being one of the best tight ends in the country this year as far as numbers-wise, because he's just going to be wide open over the middle against linebackers all season long.
You know what I wanted to take? And that last pick, I was thinking about it. Clemson's offense is going to throw the ball this year, right? We're thinking they're going to have more success with it. I almost took Bo Collins as like a upside. Who's going to be the Quentin Johnston guy for Garrett mm-hmm. Riley in this system?
I like Antonio Williams if we're picking one better. Clemson wide receiver, but he's not the same body. Like, he is not
right.
prototypical big-bodied Cadillac, as Barton Simmons used to say. Speaking of Barton Simmons, Will Shepard from Vanderbilt was on my list. He was pretty excellent. We remember in that memorable win against Florida, getting them their SEC victory. I think Jamal Banks from Wake Forest is in for a big year as he sort of takes the next step up. Donovan Green returning from health. I legitimately had Ladd McConkey on my big board.
Yeah.
But you make great points, especially with some of the additions of what's going to happen. And Aronde Gadsden.
I had him.
Yeah.
God, he's sick.
I had him as a tight end receiver hybrid type guy.
Right. Aronde Gadsden from Syracuse. If you've not familiarized yourself with him, definitely check it out. There have been some requests. Oh, go ahead.
A.D. Mitchell. Antoine Wells. A.D. Mitchell. Yeah. Antoine Wells at South Carolina. And then also Eric All. I mean, Iowa tight ends have been great for every single year. And I think Eric All is a talented guy who's going to step into that offense. And no matter what that offense looks like, he's probably going to be one of the primary targets of it.
So speaking of that, Jacob from the chat asked, if you got the entire pass catching room with a single pick, would you take them?
Yeah, I would take Eric All and Caleb Brown with one pick. Sure. If I get two players for the price of one.
Caleb Brown, the transfer from Ohio State, mm-hmm. who just landed this spring, I believe. Was anybody on your do not draft?
Mario Williams. Like, I think Lovett and Mitchell are the two that I'm most surprised didn't go, along with Devontae Walker. I guess.
Oh, Devontae Walker from North Carolina.
Yeah, because he apparently killed it this spring. So, Brew McCoy, like I had on my list. Minnesota's tight end.
Brevin Ford. Yep.
Yeah.
And would you be afraid to get Chris Altman-Bell?
No, yes. I don't.
In the top four rounds, I think it's a mistake. They don't throw the ball
him here.
Well,
yeah.
Or
and the other kid they got from Charlotte, whose name escapes me right now.
Isaiah Stewart?
It's the long, lanky receiver they got from Charlotte, who I think is going to be like a deep threat for them, which they have not had since Rashad Bateman.
Not the kid who was a delivery truck driver who was like pretty jacked, right?
Correct.
Oh, Elijah Spencer. Yeah, DeBoer was the thicker guy.
And who's Minnesota's starting quarterback this year?
I think it's going to be Zach Galifianakis.
Yes, Ethan Kalliakmanis. Kalliakmanis. Yeah, I think I got that.
Is he Greek?
Yes,
he might be. Actually, okay. I think he's Irish.
The Greek rifle, I think is what our guy from Minnesota called him. So
no way.
Yeah.
Fan, I'm in.
Yeah.
Talk about a Greek rifle. Nailing it down the field.
They think he's an upgrade over Tanner Morgan. I'm like, he better be. Just like,
well, because then was it the bowl game or late last season? Like Tanner Morgan was kind of hurt, kind of not.
Yeah, he took over. Yeah,
concussion, and then he took over.
He took over in the Illinois game is when Tanner Morgan got hurt, and then Minnesota fans thought, yeah, never mind, I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, Minnesota. I do have the Big Ten West up on my review schedule, so I can get dialed in for when we start rolling through win totals episodes coming up in July. I'm going to go ahead and give y'all this heads up. We really don't plant mailbag questions. Like if there's something interesting that we want to talk about, we'll just talk about it. Right. I would like to know for tomorrow's mailbag, who's on your do not draft list. We've done quarterbacks and we've done wide receivers and tight ends. I want a couple names in tomorrow's mailbag. Who is on your do not draft list?
We got red flags.
Yeah, red flags. Mm-hmm. Like who got taken out of the big board just based on your own read of the situation? You know, you go to some of these preseason All-American teams, they might have been a first or second pick, but you were like, nope. And I want to find out who is on the do not draft list in tomorrow's mailbag episode.
Can we do one other topic? And I want you guys a little homework assignment for you guys.
Yeah.
So we do most annoying fan bases all the time. Oklahoma softball blows them all out of the way.
Really?
Blows them all out of the water. It takes any other annoying fan base and makes them look just docile. Just pay attention. Florida State, Oklahoma tonight, 8 o'clock.
My buddy came over to our house on Friday. I tried to watch. I'm like, man, we got college baseball going on. Like, I really can't get into the softball. I know the haters will come for me. I just don't like the product. But
I think it's fun to watch. But my goodness, just
so
Lynn saw you.
I have been critical that there are. Softball is going to be, you know, cheering. You're going to get the cheers. You're going to be a lot of talk. Like it's very enthusiastic. They call it celebrating the little victories. What I have never seen in my life before is somebody slam the bat down after an intentional walk. Be like, yeah, let's go after an intentional walk. But I've seen it now.
Lynn saw your tweet this morning, and she's like, "Is Danny okay? He saw his tweet. I don't know. Is everything okay?" And I says, "Oh, he's fine. It's just Florida State's playing Oklahoma in softball,
and so Oklahoma is like very good."
Yeah, I was gonna say. So they're two in a row, right?
One game.
They're a major league baseball team.
They're stacked. And
did Oklahoma win the first one, Danny?
They had start tonight, game one tonight.
Got it. All right.
And they play in their backyard. If Alabama played the national championship in Birmingham every year, like, do you think it'd be an advantage?
So they've won one national championship in a row or two national championships?
Two. They're going for their third.
Yeah. So that happens, right? Especially in the absence of, I don't know, college football national championships, NCAA tournament runs.
Right.
Fans will you know, you'll cling to whatever the next best thing is. And
oh, yes, you will
get a little bit of juice behind it. But yeah, Florida State and Oklahoma should be fun as the College World Series continues. We will be back Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern time. It is a mailbag episode. You can leave us a 5-star review. In that review, put your question. We'll add it to the big old bag of mail. You can also come in as soon as the link goes live at youtube.com/cover3 and drop your question in the chat. We'll answer a few off the top and all throughout the show. So thank you very much to those of you who have been doing it every week. We love to be able to get the interaction live. And of course, those of you who send it along either Twitter, email, or through the 5-star mailbag. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Pernell. You can follow him at Danny Cannell. You can follow him at BudElliott3. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Can Oklahoma softball beat the Oakland Athletics?
now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.